That's what today's message is simple. It's called God will make up the difference. God will make up the difference. I read this story a long time ago when I was a kid, and it was a really sad story. And then it got reintroduced to me when I went through OSL Level 1. And then it got reintroduced to me once again, like just recently. And it was a reminder, a constant reminder of what God, like God's heart, and why Jesus gave his life for you and I. And that was to make the difference up. Amen? So let's pray before we start. And just bow your heads and close your eyes. And tell the person next to you before we pray, you better pay attention tonight. So, Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord. We thank you for the word that's going to take place. I thank you, God, for every young person in this place, for every adult. I thank you, God, that today's word is going to be powerful, and it's not going to be me speaking, but your Holy Spirit speaking through me. And I just thank you, God, that as we hear your word, Lord, that you could convict us and we could change areas in our life that they might not be lined up with your word. And that we'd not only hear, but we actually do what we hear. I thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I sat in traffic on the way out to work. That's the only bad thing of working days, that you have to sit in traffic all the way home. And it sucks because you work like 10 hours and you have to sit in traffic for another hour. And you're tired and you're falling asleep. And it's not a good thing. I almost crashed like 6 times today. Just falling asleep, you know. So you just have to stay busy. The best thing to do that I found out is either buy a cup with ice and just chew ice all the way back, or buy sunflower seeds and just chew sunflower seeds. No, that doesn't work, yeah. I also fall asleep, like, yeah. I call one of us. I called Chanel yesterday because I was falling asleep. And yeah, it worked for a little bit, and then I was like, multitasking, driving, talking, and yeah, it was bad. But you know what? I work in a crazy area where people, you see the effects of people being let down. And what happens is that the devil will use that, because then that person will let other people down. It's like there's a crazy story that I heard. It's like this mom was making a turkey for Thanksgiving, right? And she cut it like in a square, and she threw everything else away, and then she put it in the oven. And then the daughter is like, "Mom, like, why do you do that?" And she was like, "Well, that's how my mom taught me how to do it, so that's how I do it." So then one Thanksgiving, they were all together. It was like the daughter, the mom, the grandma, and the great-grandma. Does anybody have all those grandmas here? No? My daughter got to meet her mom, her grandma, her great-grandma, and her great-great-grandma. We have a picture of that, huh? That's really cool. She probably will never remember, but that's a really cool picture because that's 4 generations right there. So just think of Andy, Chanel, my mom, and my grandma, and my great-grandma chilling Thanksgiving, right? And then Chanel asked her mom, "Hey, mom, why do we cut this?" She didn't do this. I'm just giving you guys an example. Why do you cut the turkey like this? Well, that's how my mom taught me how to do it. And it goes down, and they ask great-great-grandma, "Hey, great-great-great-grandma, why do you guys cut the turkey?" Like, I don't know why you guys cut it, but my oven was this small. So I had to cut it and put it in like that, and you know what I mean? Like, so that's the same thing with people. Like, they get shortchanged, and then they raise kids, and then they shortchange their kids because that's how they grew up, and then it's just a losing cycle. And they're like, why? We have, you know, the Bible teaches us that we have the dominion and power to break off generational curses. Amen. And we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. We have Jesus. We have grace. We have the blood of Jesus. We have all that. So we don't have to continue to live in this losing cycle and eating like just partial turkey. You could eat the whole thing. Amen. So, yeah, I mean, we could talk about how we could all come up and give a testimony of how we've been shortchanged. Can't we? You know, I have friends that are like 35, you know, say, and you know, it applies a lot to some of my friends that are girls, but they're like freaking out, like, man, like, you know what, like, I haven't met the perfect guy, and what am I gonna do? And they get all like desperate, you know what I mean? Cause, and then all of a sudden, you know, Willy Nilly, who was in so cute, is looking really good now, you know what I mean? And then they get into this marriage. Trust me, I have friends like that. They get into this marriage, and because they didn't wait, now they're like suffering. They feel like they're shortchanged. So they give so much love to Willy Nilly because they only feel like they got 60% of men. They didn't get 100% of men. Does that make sense? It's crazy, huh? That's why it's good to wait. I don't have any, actually. Anybody have change for 10 bucks? Anybody have change for 10 bucks? Yeah, I don't want no $4 bills, girl. I want 10. Right? Two fives. All right, so check it out. Paul's going to give me two fives right now. Right? And you know what? Here, let me just give you five back right now. Oh, dude, I need a singles, and you gave me two fives, so I'll give you the other stuff later, all right? So see how, like, I don't know how he trusts me, so he knows, but if I did that to a regular person, you'd be like, hey, and then I'd be like, nah, man, just chill. I'll be right back right now. I mean, you're not really going to get crazy for $5, but you still feel like you've been shortchanged, right? You feel like, hey, what the heck? He only gave me five, and I gave him 10, and he wanted to change. It doesn't make sense. See, but guess what? He'll continue to live his life, but every time he sees me, he'll always be like, man, that guy took $5 from me. Always. And guess what? He'll see me, and then if I go up to say this brother right here, be like, hey, can you have change for me? What is he going to say? Hey, dude. Don't do it, bro. Don't do it. Don't do it. Why? Because he's been shortchanged. He'll live his life and be happy, but he'll always remember, like, hey, man, that guy did me dirty. And you know, as funny as $5 is, sometimes people will never forgive you for those $5. They'll like, man, I'm never going to forgive that fool, man. He took my $5. I can't believe, you know what I could have bought for $5, man? You know, it's a silly example, but that's what we do all the time. We blame other people, man. Like, if only my mom had money to buy me food and I could have a nice breakfast before I went to school, I could have done better in tests. If only I would have had this, I would have done better in this. If only I had the support of this person. You invest 100% of your time and you only get so much of a return. You invest so much time in a relationship with friends and then they do you dirty and you only get so much in a return. Anybody ever felt like that? It's an ugly feeling. It's a really ugly feeling because you're like, man, who can I trust? Trust in God. There's somebody that's looking up. There's somebody sitting in a palace right now in heaven. His name is Jesus, and he's making up the difference. And we're going to read a story. If you read the story, like I said, if you've been in OSL 1, you've read the story. But if you haven't, I'm going to introduce you to the story. And we're going to see how this guy was super shortchanged. Super shortchanged. Amen? We're going to go to 2 Samuel. Chapter 9, and we're going to read the story. Anybody learning anything? Yeah. Now check this out. David, everybody say David, had just taken over of being a king. Everybody say king. He was in a palace that he didn't build. He was in a palace that did not belong to him, that shouldn't have been his. He had just lost his best friend that he loved. You guys know who David's best friend was? Jonathan. Have you guys ever had cold brew? Yeah?
It's good, huh? Well, this is not cold brew, but it's better than cold brew. It's called the Watts Brew.
There's a restaurant. Well, it's called cold brew, but I call it Watts Brew because it's in Watts. And it's really strong. If I drink this, I'll be up till Sunday morning. So this guy just lost his best friend, Jonathan. Like, David loved Jonathan. Jonathan had died because some of his family members, like his dad, had shortchanged him. He made some really bad decisions that put his whole family in a predicament. Right? Be laughing, huh? I didn't want to take my hat off. I had an itch. Have you ever seen girls like with weaves that go like this because they itch? That's how I felt right now. But anywho, Saul had made really bad choices. And that affected his relationship with his sons. He put his sons in a really bad spot. His sin jacked everybody up. But yeah, like they're in battle, and then they start getting slaughtered, and Jonathan dies, all his brothers die, and then Saul sees that everybody's dead, and what does he do? He like falls on his own sword. And here's David. David loved Jonathan. He loved Jonathan. They made a covenant together. They'd be buddies for life. See, Jonathan was dead, but David's love for Jonathan wasn't dead. It was still there. And so David, he's chilling around his palace, and he loves Jonathan and his family so much that he starts asking around. He says, "Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul?" Is there anyone left in the back that could change my scripture? "That I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake." So he's saying, hey, is there anyone left in the house of Saul so I could show my kindness? Not to Saul, but to who? To Jonathan. And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. Ziba. So when they called him to David, the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" He said, "Yes, at your service." So then the king said, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?" And Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet." So the king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "Indeed, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodebar." Everybody say Lodebar. I read online, and I just read it online, but I wanted to verify because not everything that people or preachers say is true. Sometimes you have to like back it up. Lodebar means not having or no pastor. Not having or no pastor. Yeah, you don't want to live in Lodebar. So this kid's in Lodebar, right? Then the king David sent to bring him out of the house of Machir, the son of Emiel from Lodebar. So he brings him out, right? So check it out. This guy, now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of David, Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Just stay right there. If you read about Mephibosheth, right, this kid should have been the next king because he was the only one living. Like, everybody dies, and he's still, like, next of kin. He's still, like, the family that should have inherited the throne. But check it out. When all this nonsense was happening, they were fleeing from their enemies, and the caregiver, the babysitter, picks him up, healthy baby. She's running out, right? And she drops him. And he breaks both of his legs. Imagine a baby, like you drop a baby and he breaks both of his legs. Back then, they didn't have the technology that we have now. So if you broke your leg, I don't know how they fixed people back then. But obviously they didn't fix this guy because this guy was lame in both feet. Imagine you can't walk. They have to carry you everywhere. Both of your feet are lame. You're the son of the next king, Jonathan. And you're in Lodabar, the place of no pasture, the place of no communication, the place of what? Those other word that we used? The place of lacking. Dude, this guy was like, dude, I'm going to be a bum for life. I'm just going to be being carried around forever. Man, that guy. See, sometimes we have no, it wasn't Mephibosheth's fault that this happened to him. It just happened to him. It's not like he made a bad choice and this happened to him. Sometimes stuff happens that we have no control of. And we're like, why is this happening? God, why is this happening to me? Understand, God is always in control. God is always fighting for you. I mean, if stuff is just happening in your life and you have, like, you say, oh, when I was a kid, my parents got divorced. That's out of your control. But check it out. There's going to be a day where you can make a decision and you say, you know what, God? Throughout all that craziness that happened, like, you still brought me out of that. And now when I get married, I ain't going to do that. I ain't going to shortchange my kids the way I was shortchanged. That'd be a testimony for your life. Amen? My mom, her dad left her when she was 1 year old, and her brother. She was shortchanged. He left. He made a new family with some other lady. She came to the U.S. She met her husband, my dad. My dad came from a household of drunk people. Grandpa was always drunk, fighting. My grandma had 12 kids. He'd just come home and drunk and make babies. That's what he did. My dad could have been like, man, he used to tell me, like, man, we had the same shoes for years. And then we just had like a big old, like a tub, and we would throw our old shoes in there, and then our little brothers would wear our shoes after. Talk about being shortchanged. Rice and beans and tortillas. On a good night, everybody had a piece of meat. I could be like, oh man, we live in America, we have it good, right? Who eats beans and tortillas all day because you have nothing to eat? Praise God. You've never been shortchanged in that area. See, but they come and meet here in the U.S. God has a bigger plan for both of them. They meet. They have a family. And they say, you know what? My mom doesn't. If you talk to my mom, she don't be like, oh, my dad left me. I'm so miserable. She's grateful that that's her dad. But her real dad was my step-grandpa who passed away. That was her dad. But see, she could be miserable all her life and blame her dad's mistake on us and leave us. But she never left us. Now, guess what? Now when I have my kids, I don't want to leave them. Because I know how shortchanged people could act, and I know how that could affect them. But see, this guy, he had all the reason in the world to be, like, miserable and pissed off and, you know, no, imagine not being able to walk. That sucks. And then if you say, like, oh, were you born like this? No, I was born healthy. It's just this dumb lady was running, and she dropped me. I would be pissed if I left my son with some lady, and then there's an earthquake. She grabs my kid, runs out, and then, boom, drops him. And now, you know what I mean? It's messed up. It's really messed up, right? See, I'm emphasizing on this guy because this guy, seriously, like, when David called him, I don't even know what he was thinking. He probably has such a negative attitude, like, oh, what are they going to do to me? Are they going to try to kill me too? Because David's going to feel like I'm gonna like, heir the throne, and, you know? He probably had that mentality, but check this out. He came to David, and he fell on his face, and he just humbled himself before him. Then David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, here is your servant. So David said to him, do not fear. See? Do not fear. He probably saw that, man, this guy's freaking out right here. Why the heck is the king calling for me? He probably knew all the horror stories. He probably knew, hey, my grandpa Saul was after this guy, and he wanted to kill this guy. So now he's going to, like, he's probably happy that he's dead, and he's going to kill me just so he could destroy all my family. But see, David didn't do that. Check it out. Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for who? For Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather. And you will eat bread at my table continually. Then he bowed himself and said, what is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I? See his mentality. He's been shortchanged all of his life. And he comes to David and says, man, what have I done that you have compassion over this dead dog like me? I don't know if that was like super derogatory back in the day, but a dead dog? Have you ever seen a dead dog on the street? Sad. Or a dead cat, yeah. It was so sad. I was going to my cousin's house like a month ago, and I saw these little kids crying on Whittier Boulevard, and their dog was there. He had been ran over. And I felt so bad because they were looking at him with such compassion, and they were like, you could tell they were debating, like, should we pick him up? And then the girl's like, she had a bag, and then the brother's like, no, not in a bag. And then he took off his shirt. I didn't see him pick it up because that was kind of nasty, but I mean, a dead dog, you know what I mean? It's not a good, that's, he described himself as a dead dog, like me. And the king called to Ziba and said, and Saul's servant and said to him, I have given to your master's son all that belonged to Saul and to all of his house. You, therefore, and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him. See, he knew that this guy couldn't walk. He knew that this guy couldn't get up every morning and go and cultivate and grow stuff and pick it up and eat. He knew he couldn't walk. He knew he was handicapped. And he said, listen, Ziba, you and all your folks are going to take care of this guy. You guys are going to work the land for him. That's awesome. You shall bring in the harvest. Look, you're not only going to work it, you're going to bring the harvest that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always. He was not only going to live in the palace, but every time David had dinner, he was going to be sitting right there. Because David understood, this guy is a son of a king. This guy is a son. I'm going to honor this kid because he's a son of a king. He should have been in my place. But you know what? Like, I'm going to remember him. Now, Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, according to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so will your servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all who dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table, and he was lame in both his feet. That's it. That's an awesome story, huh? That's a really awesome story. I'm telling you, today was a really, 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 really simple message. And God just wants to remind you tonight that he wants you to eat at his table every day as a son and a daughter of a king. Regardless of how dirty somebody has done you, how shortchanged you've been in all your life, God will make up the difference. He will always make up the difference. You come up with the crazy, Listen, if you're ever complaining that, like, oh, how somebody did you, think of this guy. Mephibosheth. It's a weird name, huh? Think of this guy and be like, man, I'm not lame in my both feet. I didn't, like, get moved out to the land of nothing. I'm still in a good place. I didn't get dropped when I was a little kid. We dropped Andy a couple times, huh? How many times? Oh, I did, yeah. Not on purpose. She fell off the couch. It was real low. Oh, yeah. Some people dropped her. Some people lifted her up. Let me tell you this funny story, and I'll be done. So Chanel had the baby, and she was playing. Right? And, dude, I just hear like this. Dude, Chanel lifted Andy up, and the fan was on. Poor baby, huh? We felt so bad, but we were laughing for a little bit. I was mad, and then I laughed. That hurt. Ouch. Yeah, so... But I mean, accidents happen. She was okay. And you know that little girl is super tough. Like, she falls and she's like, ouch. She's like bleeding, ouchie. And that's it, you know? So she's a tough baby. But remember, check this out, you know? God will never forget. He'll never forget. Oh. And he'll give you, check it out. He'll give you your change. And he'll make your cup overflow, amen?
Yeah?
Yeah, for lunch, bro, tomorrow. Did you guys learn something today? Ooh, it's early. Hey, let's pray, yeah? Can we pray together? I'm not going to do like a altar call and say, oh, who here has been shortchanged? We've all been shortchanged. But I'm telling you, I need some of you to make a decision tonight, including myself, to not continue to live in this like, oh, man, this person has done this to me, or that person has shortchanged. For every person who has shortchanged you, just imagine that you have a king in heaven who's going to make up the difference. So just think of how much you're going to get because all these people have let you down. A lot more. We have to forgive. We have to forget. The Bible's clear, guys, about if we can't forgive our own brothers, how is the Father going to forgive us? It's super clear. I love the scripture that says, hey, you know, if you come to the altar to bring a gift and you're walking in some kind of angry, like if you're walking in unforgiveness, the Bible says that God says, take your gift, go ask for forgiveness or go forgive somebody and then bring your gift. Because honestly, it's no good to God. Think about that. When you come to church and worship and you're lifting up your hands and you're singing, how great is our God? Whatever you're singing. Your blood makes a death to hear right now. And I, you know what I mean? You feel like all spiritual singing, you're jumping and all this stuff. But if you're walking in unforgiveness, it's no good. If you're walking in unforgiveness, it's no good. I know we do it, to worship God, but that's the Bible. It's not what I'm telling. I know it's harsh, but it's the truth. It's better to just sit there and not do anything. But honestly, like, you think God wants you to sit there and do nothing? Mm-mm. He wants you to be obedient to his word and go to whoever. You know what? Even if you haven't talked to this person in a long time, I've done this. I'll send a Facebook message to some random person who I know I haven't forgiven. Hey, bro, I just want you to know that I forgive you and I'm sorry if I ever offended you. And then this person is like, dude, what are you talking about? Oh, you know, a long time ago this happened, and you know, I just have to tell you that I love you, and I forgive you, and I hope you forgive me. Boom. It's that easy. Hey, mom, you know, like last week, you said this, and it really made me mad, and I you know, I never told you that I forgave you or that I was sorry for talking back. That's why it's, you know, like, I have friends, even myself sometimes, it's hard to hang out with family because you're kind of like annoyed by them. Where does that annoyance come from? Unforgiveness? Where does that annoyance come from? You being annoyed at them because they keep doing the same thing over and over? So just close your eyes right now and think of some of that stuff. Think of some of those things. And I, Holy Spirit, right now, just start to reveal areas in our life where maybe we've walked in unforgiveness and we're mad at people because they've shortchanged us. Holy Spirit, we don't want to walk in that anymore. We know that you've already made up the difference when you died on the cross for us. You forgave our sins. You covered all our iniquities. You've covered all our sins. You've paid the price. We gave it 100%. We got 50 back, but guess what? You made up the difference. And we're grateful for that. Hey, I don't know who this is for, but you guys are all young, and you probably won't get married for another few years, hopefully. But you've been hurt by past relationships, even not with a boyfriend or girlfriend, but a dad or a mom. You have to forgive those people right now because guess what? When you jump into a relationship and you get married, you're going to treat your wife or your husband a different way because you've been hurt and you've been shortchanged. There's a lot of marriages out there that seriously, they compare their relationships to other relationships. And that's why we have so much divorce in America. I really believe strongly that that started at a very young age. For you older young people and you're asking God to bless you with a wife or a husband, start working on yourself and start forgiving people right now. Start working on your relationships that you have right now at home. So when that man of God or that woman of God comes into your life, man, you're just going to love him or her unconditionally. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. Lord, I thank you, God, for every young person in this place. I pray that, like I said, not just right now, but as they go home tonight, Lord, that you continue to convict and you continue to bring up areas in our lives, Lord, that we need to start to clear up, Lord. And make right. And Father, we wanna hit our target. We wanna hit our target, Lord. We just wanna stay on track. We don't want any type of unforgiveness or any type of remorse or any type of anger towards people to make us go to the left or right. We wanna be on track. So what you have planned for us, Lord.